Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for all blessings we have received from you. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit within us and around us. Thank you for the revelations of the Holy Spirit you have sent into our lives. Thank you for the things you have been showing us while we study your word, even while we fell asleep. Thank you because you have been showing us your ways. You have been showing us your desires. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the strength you have placed within us. Thank you for your strength in us that is helping us to live a life that is pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Father. Be exalted, be magnified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for these Bible study classes we have been having for some time now. Thank you for all the truths you have revealed to us. Thank you for how you have corrected us through the teachings of your word. Thank you for transformations that has happened to us. Thank you for how you have empowered us through the knowledge of your word. And thank you for using us to win souls unto you. For as many we have been sharing these truths with, their souls have been saved. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, I am asking that even as we would be having the class once again this night, I ask, Father, that you speak to us expressly from your heart. Open our eyes and open our hearts to see the light so that we may be free from every form of darkness. Through the teaching of tonight, Lord, let every soul that would listen, let them be edified and transformed, and let your name alone be glorified. Thank you, Father, because I know you shall do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Bible study class, and I'm going to continue from where we stopped during the last class session. Yeah, we have been talking about I had mentioned the first point to be, we worship God by loving him. And then the second point was how we show our love for God. And then the third, which is what I'm going to be looking at now. The third is, we are to love God above all else. That's the third point. So we concluded with the second point during the last class. We concluded with the second point. So now I'll be continuing from the third point under the broad topic I titled Building a Strong Relationship with God. Now the third point is, we are to love God above all else. We are to love God above all else. Yeah, if you look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, it says that you should love God with all your heart and soul and mind. And I think I've explained that before. I've explained what it means to love God with all your soul, and I likened it to the relationship between a man and a woman who are in love with each other, and how one of them might not even be able to sleep if he or she has not heard from the other partner. Yeah, or if the other partner is not feeling well, the one that is in love will not be able to sleep. Sometimes even not being able to eat. Yeah, so this point we are looking at says that we are to love God above all else. And that implies that you love God above everything and above everyone. You love Him with the whole of your heart, and you love Him above everything and everyone. That is what it means to love God above all else. Or maybe I should say that is what I mean by that point. You love God above everything and everyone, meaning that you love God above money. You love God above yourself, above your beauty. You love God above your parents, above your husband, above your wife, above your children. It means you love God above your job. It means you love God above your career and above your choices in life. Yeah. So that's what it means. To love God above all else means He is more important than any other things or every other things in life. Yeah, so we are going to be looking at some points under this point three. Now, point A point A says we are not to love or put anything before Him. Exodus chapter 20 verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We are not to love or put anything before Him. Meaning that you don't consider anything first before Him. Meaning that He must always come first. He must always come first. No one else should come first before God in your life. He must always be preferred above every other things. Yeah, that's what it means. In that Exodus chapter 20 verse 3, you know, God told those people that He said they must have no other God before Him. Meaning that the honor they give God, they must not give any other. Yeah, they must not bow to any other God. They must not worship any other God. They must not consider another God higher than the Almighty God. Yeah, so if we love God, then we must love Him above all else. We must love him above every other thing. He must come first. He must come first in your life. Before you take any step, you must speak with him as it approved it, as it God first. There are some people that they never sought God before they made certain decisions. It was after they ran into troubles. They now start running after God. It means you don't love God. You're planning to get married. You don't seek God. You just feel like this man is good. This man or this woman is handsome or beautiful. Yeah, you just feel like this thing is good for me. And then you just went, you know, you just enter inside. You did not seek God about it. Then it means you don't love God. If there's anything in your life you can just do without seeking God's opinion and direction about, yeah, then that thing is like a God that you have chosen above God, above the Almighty God. That thing is like a small God in your life. If you feel you can just do this thing without seeking God's will, yeah, that thing has become an idol. So we must put him first. Very important. In Matthew 6:33, says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah, we must put him first. Even if someone, you know, someone suggested that you partner with something, you seek God first about it. You tell the person, I'm going to pray about it. If the Lord approves, then I will go ahead with it. Not that you just go ahead and then you just put all your money in a project you have not sought God about. Yeah, such project is likely to fail. So that is how many Christians, including church leaders, that is how they have wasted all manner of resources. Because they just feel like this is a good thing, let me just do it. They never sought God about it. Yeah, even about spending your money, you need to seek God. Say, God, how do I spend this money you have given to me? Those are signs that you love God. Yeah, if you just feel like you can live your life anyhow, you can choose whatever you want, as long as it's good for you, then you don't love God. Because if you love him, you will put him first before any other thing. Yeah. And then point B says, God is jealous of our love. Yeah, that's another reason why we must love him above every other thing else. It's because God is jealous of our love. In Exodus 20:3-5, you will see where it says, thou shalt not serve other gods, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. So what does it mean to be jealous? To be jealous simply means that you are occupying a place in someone's life. And you don't want any other person to occupy that same place you are in that person's life. Yeah, that's the way I can describe the jealousness of God. I don't know if there is if the English is correct. Yeah, that is how I can describe how God is jealous. God has set aside a place for himself in your life, and he doesn't want any other person to take that place. Yeah, so that's the kind of love God have for us. It's a jealous love. He doesn't want anything, whether it's a human being, whether it's an idol, whether it's an animal, whether it's anything, whether it's a non-living thing or living thing, whether it's visible or invisible, he doesn't want anything to take that place he has set aside for himself in your life. Now, the reason why God has shut doors of progress and success against the lives of many Christians. Yeah, you might be surprised when I say God shut doors of success against them. So, meaning that it was not the devil that shut the door of success. It was God himself that shut the door of success and progress in the lives of some Christians. The reason why God did that is because he's a jealous God. Because those believers, they began to consider some people or some things more important than God. You know, they used to love God before. You know, these are Christian believers that used to love God before. They used to be very vibrant in the work of God. You know, they so much love him above every other thing else before. Then suddenly everything changed. They start putting God as the second option, or they start placing other things above God. And then God said, okay, so you can put this one above me. You can put this thing in the place that I have been occupying in your life. Then God said, okay, then I'm going to deal with you. So then God began to discipline them. So some of these people, they try to write promotional exams, but they keep failing those exams. Some of these people, they try to apply for jobs, they keep failing, they couldn't get jobs. And they keep suffering. Why? Because God is jealous. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Yeah, God makes sure that they don't succeed because they began to consider other things more important than him. What they used to do before, the way they used to pray before, studying the word of God, the way they used to fast, the way they used to, you know, worship God, the way they used to spend time with God, which God so much liked those moments. God so much loved those moments they used to have with him. But suddenly they changed, you know, because of the cares of this world and because of the pleasures of this world. They changed and began to do other things, and they left God aside. So because God is now so jealous of his love for them, so he decided to punish them. And he began to close doors against them. Every attempt they made to move forward in life, nothing moves. And they never moved forward. And they continue to suffer. And God was not going to answer their prayers. Why? Because he's a jealous God. So it's possible that the reason for your sufferings is not the devil. It's possible that is because of the jealousness of God. Yeah, that the reason why you are suffering and you are in poverty is possible that is not because of Satan. It's because God is jealous of his love in your life. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. It's possible that it's not witches and wizards that are afflicting you. It's possible that it's not witchcraft that is tormenting your life. It's because God is jealous. Because you have placed some things above God in your life. You have considered some things more important than God. You have embraced the pleasures of the flesh, the pleasures of sin, the pleasures of this world. You have considered those pleasures more important than pleasing God. So because of that, God now says, all right, I'm going to show you that I'm very jealous. And then God begin to discipline you. He begin to close doors of success, doors of greatness, doors of progress. Yeah. So it's possible that the reason for your suffering and pains is because you left God. It's possible that it's because the things you used to do before that God used to like so much, you stopped doing them. So it could be because you stopped spending time with God. It could be because you consider some people more important than God. Yeah. If you read the account of the children of Israel in the Old Testament, you will see how God dealt with them because he was jealous of his love for them. How God raised up armies from other nations to attack the people of Israel, even to destroy many of them, to enslave them for years. God did all these things because he is jealous. Yeah. So God can allow the enemy to attack you and to win you because he is jealous of his love for you. Yeah, because you have turned away from him to worshiping other things. So he could allow the enemy to attack you and to conquer you, just like he did to the children of Israel. He could do many things because his love for us is a jealous love. Now let's look at point C. Point C says we are to love God even more than our loved ones. We are to love God even more than our loved ones. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 12, it says, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You can see that was how God tested Abraham. God tested his love for him by telling him to go and kill his only son. His only son. God said, go and sacrifice the son for me. And Abraham did not question God. I love that man. He did not question that command because he loved God so much. And he went ahead. He took along his knife. He took along the wood he's going to use. And he took along the sacrifice, which is his only son. And they went on the journey. And he bonded his son. He used rope, tied the son, put the son on the altar, and pick the knife. And he was going to slaughter the son. and offer him as a sacrifice to God. But in the process of that, the angel of the Lord stopped him. Now, what can we learn from that? You can see that God did not, the angel of God did not show up until he was going to kill his son. So he was not thinking twice. He loved God more than his son. He did not think twice. He was not saying, God, should I still do it? Yeah, I know some parents will say, God, do you still want me, do you still want me to do this? He knew it was God, and he was not questioning him. He took it upon himself to carry out the divine order. You know, it was like God gave an order, go and do this. And he considered that word of God more important than his own child, his own son, only son. Yeah. And as he was going to slaughter the child, then God stopped him. Yeah. So the same thing, God is doing at this time. God has tested many believers at this time, and many of us failed. Yeah, because there happen to be certain things in our lives that we cannot sacrifice. We cannot sacrifice to God. Believe me, Abraham already killed his son in his mind, in his heart, before God stopped him physically. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Abraham, yeah, I think later God changed his name. Yeah, Abraham already killed his son in his heart before God stopped him physically from killing him physically. Because if he had not done that in his heart, he would not be able to almost slaughtering the child, meaning that the knife was almost entering into the child's neck before God stopped him. So he was not joking. Yeah, he was not joking with the instruction. Many Christians, we joke with divine instructions. We feel like, well, it's my money, it's my thing, so I have to think about it, whether I'm going to give it to God or not. Abraham wasn't joking with God. He was actually ready to kill his son. I mean, he has already done it in his heart. He was just going to do it physically, then God stopped him. Yeah, so even now, God is testing many of us in the church. And God is testing how much we love him. God is testing how much you love him more than your parents. How much you love him more than your child or your children. God is testing how much you love him more than your husband, more than your wife. Yeah, God is testing how much you love him more than your life itself. Yeah, but many of us have failed, and that is why many of us couldn't grow spiritually. Many of us couldn't go deeper into God. God did not allow us to come closer to him, because we don't deserve such intimate fellowship with God. There are some people that are seeking God, but they could not get closer to God, because God keep testing them and they keep failing. So meaning that knowing God is not just about seeking him. It's just about him drawing you closer. I mean, it's not only about seeking him. Knowing God is not only that you seek him. It's not only about fasting and praying. is about God himself showing you mercy and God himself drawing you closer to himself. So meaning that you can seek God and still not find him. You can seek God and still not know him. You can seek for revelations and he will not show you anything. Yeah. Why? Because he considers that you don't deserve him. Because he has tested you on many cases and you have failed. Because he could discern your heart that you consider certain things more important than him in your life, and that you are not willing to let go of certain things in your life. So you feel like, well, that means you don't deserve me. So if you continue to pray, he will not come closer. He will just be dealing with you from afar. He won't come closer and he won't bring you closer. So that is the problem of many Christians today. We keep failing God's test because we consider certain things or certain people more important than him. Now, another verse of the scripture that confirms that is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, which says, "He that loveth father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of him." You can also see Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Yeah, this is the Bible. It's not like I am just saying all these things from my head. This is Bible study. It says, if you consider father or mother or son or daughter more than me, more than Jesus, more than God, Jesus said, you are not worthy of him. Yeah. So you must love him above your loved ones. There are some women who have allowed their children to destroy their relationship with God. There are some mothers who, because of the love they have for their children, sinned against God. They would spend time with the children, and they will forget to spend time with God. They will be busy cooking for the children, washing clothes of the children, taking care of the children, but they will not have any time with God. That means you are not worthy of God. Yeah, these things are practical. Yeah, because some of you might feel like, what is Apostle saying now? Are you saying we should not take care of our children anymore? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you have allowed taking care of your children to take all the time, all your time in a day, and you could not spend time with God, then you are not worthy of God. Meaning that if God decided not to answer some of your prayers, then he's right not to answer those prayers. Because you have actually placed your children more than him. Yeah. If you could spend a whole day with your kids and you can't spend a whole day with God, then you are not worthy of God. That's what Jesus meant here. Yeah. So the place that God has set aside for himself in your life must not be filled by anything or anyone, no matter how important that person appears to be in your life. So you must love father, you must love mother, you must love son, daughter, you must love, you must not love father, mother, son, daughter, or any family member more than God. And you must not listen to them. Another example is that you must not listen to them. when they are speaking contrary to the will of God. You must not listen to your parents. When your parents are going to lead you out of God's will, you must not listen to them. You must not obey them. If you listen to them, then you are not worthy of God. And God is not worthy of you. Yeah, then you do, it means you don't deserve God. You don't deserve God's visitation. And which also means you don't deserve God's help. If you could listen to your husband, but you can't listen to God. You could listen to your wife, but you can't listen to God. Then you are not worthy of God. Yeah, that's what it means. If your spouse could lead you out of God's will, if your parents could lead you out of God's will and you just follow them like that, if your children could lead you out of obeying God's will or obeying God's commandments, then you are not worthy of God. Yeah, that's what it means. So we must be very careful. We must be very careful. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, point D. We are to love God more than we care about ourselves. We are to love God more than we care about ourselves. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Yeah, you know, bread is food for your body. But the Bible is saying that as important as bread is, your life must not be based on it, or it must not be the source of your life. Food must not be what is making you to survive. Yeah, I'm trying to break it down. So meaning that as important as food is to the body, you must not base your survival on it. Meaning that your survival must be based on the word of God, on obeying the word of God. So, which means, if obedience to the word of God means to stop hitting, you are willing to do it. Yeah, that's what it means when the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. It means that if obeying the words that proceeds out of God's mouth demands that you should go without food, then you must be ready to go without food. So meaning that God is more important to life and survival than food is. So we must love God to the point that you must see him as the one who is making you to survive. As you must see him as your life. Yeah. So I hope you get the point. So the point is that we are to love God more than we care about ourselves. So meaning that there are times where you have to do things that could look like you don't care about yourself. Yeah, because of God, because you love God. Yeah. There are some believers that so much care about themselves that they are, you know, such that they are not willing to endure any pain because of God or because of the gospel. Some people cannot even walk some distance to preach the gospel. They feel like, my leg is paining me. I think I'm done here. You know, we ask them to preach to people on the streets. And then after preaching to some, maybe four or five people, they say, all right, I'm going back home. I think I've done enough. Yeah, it means God is not as important as yourself, or you have not considered God more important than yourself. That's what it means. It means you care about yourself more than you care about God. If you cannot cannot deny yourself of certain pleasures, you cannot deny yourself of certain benefits because of God, then you don't love God. If you cannot decide to go without food because of God, then you don't love God. Yeah, if you cannot endure pain and suffering and shame because of God, then you don't love God. That's the fact. I know some pastors will not tell you that. Yeah, but not me. The Bible is so clear. You can read Acts of the Apostles, and you will see what the apostles went through because of God. You will see a lot of sufferings and pains they went through because of God. Some of them were flogged publicly, like you flog a child. Old men, matured men, brought out public into the public, flogged with cane or with whatever thing they use in those days. They were shamed publicly because of God, and they were happy to do it. They were happy to do it. Why? Because they love God more than they care about themselves. Yeah, but I've not found many people like that in these last days, even among ministers of God. Men that are willing to go extra mile, depriving themselves of pleasures, benefits, depriving themselves of sleep, of food, of enjoyment, because of God. I've not seen many people like that in this dispensation. Yeah, but that was how the church started. That was how Christianity started. But today, people don't love God anymore. If you cannot deprive yourself of pleasures and benefits because of God, then you don't love God. That's the truth. There's no other way of saying it. That is just the truth. That is just the truth. May the Lord help you. Yeah, because there are some believers that feel like, I want God to use me mightily. I want to walk in power. I want to walk in the anointing. Yeah. But they could hardly deprive themselves of certain things because of God. And they want to receive power. They want to walk in the glory of God physically on earth. It's not possible. If you cannot endure suffering, endure shame because of Christ, then you don't deserve to walk in the power of Christ. Because even Jesus himself was publicly crucified, publicly humiliated, He was beaten. He was nailed to the cross. He suffered because of God. Yeah. So if Jesus suffered, then who are you that don't want to suffer because of the gospel and because of pleasing God? Yeah. Some people, they cannot leave their jobs because of God. Then it means you're not worthy of Him. If your job is promoting sin, and God is not, and of course God is not happy with any job that promotes sin, any job where you have to commit sin, to make money for them in that job. You can't do that kind of job and God will be happy with you. So if you can't leave that kind of job, then you don't love God. I pray that the Lord will strengthen you to do His will in Jesus' name. I pray that He will deliver you from the power of self and flesh, so that you can really love Him in Jesus' name. Let us also look at another scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24-33. You will see where it says, "No man can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And then says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Yeah. So you can't serve two masters. You can't serve yourself and serve God at the same time. To serve God means to hate yourself. It means to displease yourself. Yeah, that's what it means. Now, let us look at another point. Point he. Remember that the major point is we are to love God above all else. So under that point is A, B, C, D, and then this is point he. Point he says, our focus should be on heavenly things rather than on the things of the earth. Our focus should be on heavenly things rather than the things of the earth. So if we say we love God, then our focus must be on heavenly things and not on the things of the earth. I think in the last publication I sent for the fasting, today is our fasting. Which I believe, I want to believe that you fasted today. If you go through the publication that I gave for the fasting of today, you will see where I mentioned that that our focus must be on heavenly things and not on the things in the earth. And the reason why many believers are not moving forward spiritually, the reason why many are not growing, the reason why many are not fulfilling destiny is because our focus is different from God's focus. Yeah, we want God to move our lives forward, but we are focusing on what God is not focusing on. We are focusing on the things on the earth and not the things of heaven. It will be difficult for God to move you forward. Yeah, because God is not going to move you forward according to your own plans. God will move you forward according to his own plans. God is going to move you forward in his own journey, the journey he has set for your life before you were born. So God is in that journey, he's on that path, and God wants to move you forward in that journey. So if you shift focus and you move away from that path where God is, and you move to another direction, you will not move forward. It's not a course. Yeah, because the path where God is, you have left that path, as in P-A-T-H, you have left that path. And you are now in another path where God can't be found. You are on a journey that God did not set for your life. You are focusing on things that God has not placed on the journey of your life. Then how will God move you forward? It's not possible. It's the devil that will be moving you forward. Yeah. And of course, devil doesn't have any good thing to offer. So that is why many Christians, their lives have been stagnant for years. Because they shifted focus from God to other things. God is not carnal. God is not worldly. The Holy Spirit is not worldly. The Holy Spirit is not the spirit of sin. It's not the spirit of the world. So, and that is why you cannot be living in sin and still want the Holy Spirit to do certain things in your life. You cannot be carnal and still want God to do certain miracles in your life. It will not happen. It cannot happen. Yeah, because it's two different realms. This is the realm of light, and that is the realm of darkness. Yeah, so you cannot expect what God has programmed to happen to you only when you are in the realm of light. You cannot expect it to happen when you are in the realm of darkness. It's not possible. So that is the reason why many Christians have not moved forward. They feel like they feel like they can be in darkness and light at the same time. They feel like they can do their own things and then still receive God's help at the same time. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, so God wants us to focus on heavenly things and not on the things of this earth. Though we are here on earth, but we are not to focus on the things in heaven. Now, you may want to ask the question. Or maybe I should say the answer. I'll explain it. I'll just. Why you are here on earth, where you are not in heaven, the best way is to stop living for yourself. The best way is to live for heaven, is to live for God while you are here on earth.
Holy. These are dark times. Cities on rise. Churches enslaved. We are dying now. We are suffering like hell.
Muted. The recording has started.
Depend. You depend on the leadership of God, the leadership of the Spirit of God, always while you are here on earth. You let the Spirit of God lead you in everything you do. You consider that you don't know how to do anything on earth except He leads you. That is how you will not focus on the things on earth. I'm just trying to give you practical ways to avoid focusing on the things on earth while you are still on earth. It's just like trying to say that, let's say for instance, you are washing plates in the kitchen. It's just like trying to say that while you are washing plates, you are not focusing on the plate. Even while you are looking at the plate, you are not focusing on the plate. That's what the Bible is saying. Because usually you will have to do many things on earth. You get married, you have children, you have things, you work, you work in an organization, or you have your job, or you have business. You will surely have to do certain things on earth. Yeah, but I'm trying to show you how you could avoid focusing on those things even while you are doing them, even while you are seeing them face to face. So, and I said that you must believe that you cannot do anything successfully on earth except the Spirit of God leads you. So if you always trust in the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit, you are not likely to focus on the things on earth. You will always focus on the things in heaven. The scripture in Matthew chapter 6 verse 20-21 says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So like I said, don't live for yourself. Live for God. Anything you do, see it as you are doing it for God, not for yourself, and not for anyone. See it as you are doing it for God. Even if you are working for your employer, see it as you are doing it for God. So this is how you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, and this is how you will not be able to focus on the things of this world. And then in Luke chapter 12 verse 15, it says, a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things he owns. Yeah, your life is in God. Your life is not in the things of this world. You know, there was a time when I read a place in the Bible where Jesus said it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, but it will be difficult for a rich man to enter heaven. So when I read that place in the Bible, I paused a little. And I asked God a question. I said, are you saying that if we have money in this world, we will not make heaven? Yeah. But the Lord answered me, saying that He said, if a Christian is rich in this world, that Christian must not put his life in those riches, that Christian must lay down that riches for God. That is how that Christian will make heaven. He said that Christian must not put his life in those riches. So meaning that he must consider that he have nothing. Even though he have billions of money, he must consider that he have nothing. He said that is how he will make heaven. So, and if he believes he have nothing, then that means the owner of his wealth is Jesus Christ. And Jesus can channel it to anywhere he wants. So meaning that Jesus is the one who's going to use those wealth for himself. So Jesus will tell him, this is what you should do with this wealth. And immediately he will obey and do whatever the Lord tells him to do with the wealth. So he said, only Christians like that can make heaven. And I begin to think, if we actually can have Christians like that, or if we actually have Christians like that, if we don't have, I want you to be a Christian like that, because I want you to have money so that you can use it for God. Amen. And then in Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 2, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. I think I'm gonna stop on this point, then we'll continue from there next week. In this verse, or in these verses, an emphasis is on things above, not things on this earth. Set your heart on things above. Set your love, your affection on things above. Seek those things that are above. So emphasis is on that in this verse. And what exactly is Apostle Paul saying in that verse? It's saying that you must love God so much that it is Him you see all the time. It is Him you seek all the time. Not anything in this world. Even while you hold things on earth, even while you probably could be living in beautiful houses, don't fix your eyes on those beautiful houses. If you don't fix your eyes on yourself, whether you are beautiful or however you look like, fix your eyes on Him all the time. All the time. Let your love be on things above. That this is how to walk with God here on earth. He didn't say that some of the things above. He said things above, meaning that everything above, you fix your eyes on it. You seek them. And then he didn't say some of the things on earth. He said, don't seek, don't love anything on earth. Yeah, that is how we would walk with God at this time and make heaven. Yeah, I look at how God has dealt with me over the years, and I find myself in a position whereby nothing really makes sense to me. If it's not God, and if it's not to glorify God, nothing in this world makes sense to me, or becomes an affection to me. If it's not God, it can be good. Like it's good to have a car. It's good to live in beautiful houses. Of course, physically to my eyes is good, but it doesn't make sense to me until it glorifies God. Then it can begin to make sense. Yeah. So meaning that I don't really care about those things anymore because of how much I have loved God, or how much I love God. Yeah, so I believe we need to come to a point whereby nothing moves you in this world. Devil cannot even use, you need to come to a point whereby devil can't use anything to tempt you in this world, because you don't love those things. Yeah, that you only love God. May the Lord help you to love God so much that only the things in heaven make sense to you. Yeah. May the Lord help you to love God so much that you fix your eyes on the things above and not the things in this world, no matter how beautiful they might look like. Yeah, people want to go to America, people want to go to USA. Yeah, of course, USA is America. People want to go to Europe, they want to go to beautiful places of the world, and they are so desperate to commit sins so that they could have citizenship of places on earth. Yeah, they don't care sinning against God just to become a citizen of a place on earth that will soon perish, because everywhere on earth shall melt with fire. Yeah, so they consider things on earth so important than the things above. So you must not be like that. No matter how the world looks beautiful to you, don't focus on them. That is how you will please God, and that is how you will save your soul. Yeah, because there's a part where God saves your soul, and there's another part where you save your own soul. The Bible says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Yeah, there's a part where you save your soul yourself by doing what you have to do. I'm going to stop here. If you have question, if you have question, you can ask in the group, or you can ask me personally. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this Bible study class. Thank you for what you have revealed to us. Thank you for showing us how much we are yet to love you. What is is missing in our relationship with you and how we can fix it. Thank you, Lord, because you are determined to draw us closer at this time unto yourself. Thank you because you have determined to draw yourself closer to us. Lord, I ask that you help us to live our lives in such a way that we become worthy of you. In Jesus' name, I pray, oh God, that everyone that have listened to this teaching, that you change their lives and make them Christians indeed. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have